Well, good morning on this fourth Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Lord God, you call us to love and serve you and to live life in all its fullness. You call us to show our faith not only in words but in action. Lord God, we come to you today, leaving our fears aside. We seek to follow your call to us to live. We are listening, Lord. God of eternal life, you bring light and life to all. Nothing is too small for you to care about. Nothing escapes your loving gaze. Open our eyes now to your abundant kindness. If we are open to you, you come and live in us. Your work goes on for eternity. We bless you, Lord God. Amen. Let us come before God of our salvation, offering him all praise and glory. Let us join the angels standing around the throne as we offer ourselves in worship to God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Excuse me. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Sometimes we think about life after death, forgetting life before death. For the times when we are content to live mindlessly, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. For the times we think faith is only about words, not action, and we don't use the talents you give us, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. For the times we take you for granted, too absorbed by our own concerns to care for those who need us. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Amen. And a prayer for the assurance of forgiveness. Creator God, you give us fullness of life. You know all about us. You know every hair on our head. How can we not believe that you will forgive our sin? We are the sheep of your pasture. No one can snatch us from your loving arms. You freely forgive all who repent. You freely forgive even us. Amen.
And now we have the first reading, Acts 9, 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And at that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we have Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever more shall be, world without end. Amen. And then we have the second reading, which is John 10, 22 to 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Debbie. And now I have Steph's words on the reading from Acts. I wonder if you've ever experienced what it feels like to be marginalized or for something that is not your fault, to be considered an outsider, underappreciated, not included, all because of your age, the colour of your skin, your gender, where you live, how your brain is wired, to name but a few. The women we meet in our passage today knew exactly how that felt. They were widows. They were vulnerable, and without a husband, they had no status or voice in their society. They faced a constant struggle to have enough to eat and drink, clean clothes and a place to live, and to make sure they weren't taken advantage of. But these widows had got lucky. They lived in Joppa, the same town as Dorcas, a woman who put her faith into action and devoted her time to doing good works. Dorcas, a follower of Jesus, used what she had to provide for the widows in need. This passage begins with the word, "In Joppa, there was a certain female disciple by the name of Tabitha," which being translated into Greek also means Dorcas. Her life was full of good works to help the poor, which she herself provided. Dorcas understood, it seems, the flip side of privilege is to be responsible for those less privileged, the outsider and the marginalized. Dorcas is a trailblazer. She is a role model, an example for future leaders. She is a positive example, helping to transform lives in a particular way, transformative, opening doors for others. But extraordinarily, Dorcas's story comes to us not just because of her life, but because of her death. Too often, we only value the good works and gifts of others after they have spent their lives and die. So what were Dorcas's good works? It wasn't simply giving the widows the clothes she had finished with, or the loaves of bread she didn't need. She gave her time to come alongside the widows. She spent time sitting with them, making clothes with them, and no doubt sharing her faith and exploring their questions about Jesus. Through her simple actions, she gave these widows worth. She was empowering them to help themselves. You can see Dorcas leading a micro enterprise for widows from her home. No wonder then that the widows were devastated when Dorcas became ill and died. Her life had such an impact on the widows that I suspect they were incredibly fearful of what would happen to them now. Without Dorcas, would they again find themselves marginalized by society? Would the worth they had found be gone again? Were any of those stories Dorcas shared about Jesus giving life actually true? Dorcas had called the widows to engage with life, real life, human life again, through being with them and giving them worth. Yet she had also called them to eternal life through introducing them to Jesus. Who do we know that is in need of help, that is in need of life, both human and eternal? How can we simply be with people as an act of giving life and worth to them? What sort of impact do we want our lives to have on others? Are we guilty of marginalizing people, directly or indirectly? This is a start of Christian Aid Week, and they are known for their slogan, "We believe in life before death." Telling people about Jesus and his offer of eternal life is incredibly important, but so too is enabling people to live a human life of worth. Where is real life yet to be found? How can we play a part in calling people to live? And what does it mean that Dorcas's life was full of good works? Does it mean that her entire life was dedicated to others, even at the expense of her own health? Often churches rely on the persistent work of a few women or men to fulfill the church's ministries. And those women are usually older women who never complain. I am sure we can all name plenty of women and men like that. The sort of woman who seldom asks for help and feels she serves others endlessly. The sort of strong woman who is not expected to break down, but is an example of stalwart faith who just keeps on going. Do we know people like that? Do they need our help, our encouragement, our support? Yet even Dorcas cannot evade illness, just like all other human beings, and she dies. Luke tells us that the disciples in Joppa prepare her body and place it in an upper room. Having an upper room would suggest that Dorcas quite possibly was not a poor widow, but a single woman of some wealth among disciples of similar social status. The disciples in Joppa, female and male, ask Peter to come. When Peter arrives in the upper room, mourners benefited from her love and kindness. Her acts of justice and her gifts meet him at the door, and an extraordinary resurrection miracle takes place. But it is the spirit of Dorcas, the spirit in her, that is worth remembering and Dorcas used her privilege, her wealth, what she can do and what she can give, for the benefit of the less privileged, the widows, the hungry, the depressed, oppressed, and marginalized. Maybe we learn from Dorcas and do the same. Amen. And now Debbie's going to bring us our prayers.
Almighty God, you have called us and blessed us, and in faith and with trust in you, we are bringing ourselves and our prayers for others. In a world where values seem to shift almost daily, we pray for the marginalised and excluded, and the nameless, homeless, stateless people who seem endlessly to slip through the net of care and respect. Almighty God, may someone show them love and offer them good news, that they may know they are cared for in life and in death. We pray for the church worldwide that it may hold fast in the gospel message to love one another as God has loved us. May the church seek and strive and yearn to speak of the love of God, proclaiming only God and not our own self-importance. We pray for both the Anglican and Roman Catholic churches as they seek to appoint new leaders to lead them in the present age. We pray particularly for the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV. Almighty God, may someone show them love and offer them good news, that they may know they are cared for in life and in death. After a week in which we marked 80 years since VE Day, we pray for those affected by current day conflicts. We pray for the war-torn, war-weary nations of the world, where ordinary everyday people just seek peace and comfort, food, drink and shelter to sustain and enrich them. We remember especially the ordinary everyday folk of Ukraine, of Russia, of Sudan, of Gaza, of Israel, of Yemen, and all places around the world in conflict. Almighty God, may someone show them love and offer them good news, that they may know they are cared for in life and in death. We pray for countries of the world who teeter on the edge of poverty, hunger and thirst due to climate change. May all who have a choice and a hand in how they live choose to live carefully and tread lightly on the world's precious resources. May we and they choose sharing and caring over waste and excess. Almighty God, may someone show them love and offer them good news, that they may know they are cared for in life and in death. We pray for all the ill and dying, the grieving and the bereaved, the lonely and the lost, the frightened and fearful. We pray especially for the sick, Jack, Rosemary, Chris, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Hilary, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Mandy, Brian, Gerald, Tanya, Roger, Ian, Martin, Matthew, Sue, Cynthia, Rackenford School, Tiverton High School and Tiverton Hospital, and also the family and friends of those who have recently died, Betty Hyman, David Smith and Karen Willicott. Almighty God, may someone show them love and offer them good news, that they may know they are cared for in life and in death. Almighty God, in your steadfast eternal presence, we trust and we entrust ourselves and those prayers to you now, that together with you, we may reach out to those in need and love and care for others as you do for us. Amen.
Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, standing at the foot of the cross, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. and the blessing. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to us who believe the gates of everlasting life. Amen. God the Son, who in bursting the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. Amen. God the Holy Spirit, whom the risen Lord breathed into his disciples, empower us and fill us with Christ's peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us this day and always. Amen. And a prayer to finish. God of life and love, help us to go from here to live our lives to the full and to offer ourselves in service of those in need. Shower us with your love and gifts that we might use them to be a blessing to others in our community. Amen. Stop.